technically means that the person carries from the Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim, that's Motsi. And Machnas is the reverse, that the person carries from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYachid. But the Gemara says it's the same thing, Alocha L'Maisa, Mali Motsi, Mali Machnas, it's the same Alocha. And then another branch of the Malocha of Hoitzoh in Hachnas is Mavad Al-Aramis Rishus HaRabim. It's really very different. If you carry Dalai Lamas in the Rishus HaRabim, to make an Akira, you make a Hanocha Dalai Lamas further away, these are forbidden. So we have to be observant of these dinim. We don't carry on Shabbos, but the Gemara says if you put a mechitza around the Rishus HaRabim, it becomes a Rishus HaYachid. And the Gemara says that if you make what we call in Yiddish an Erev, which technically in the Gemara is not referred to as an Erev, in the Gemara the Erev, the word Erev means the Baksa Matzah, so the Challah that you put aside, that's on the Shutfis, by all of the Shomer Shabbos who live in the enclosed area. And the Gemara, what we call in Yiddish the Erev, the string with the poles, that's what the Gemara calls the Tzuras HaPesach, the frame of a door. So the Gemara says, you make a Tzuras HaPesach, that's considered a Mechitza. Where does it say in the Chumash that a Tzuras HaPesach Mechitza doesn't say? Obviously, it's Alach HaMoshe Misinai, that a Tzuras HaPesach is considered a Mechitza. So what's the problem? So just make a Tzuras HaPesach around the whole North America and Shem. And put away back some matzahs and shut. So what's the whole problem? So the answer is, we can't just solve the problem so simply. The answer is, there is a Mishnah and a Sugya on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. And the Mar Mekoymus, this is at the end of the first section. This is the outline of the Shiurim that I'll be giving. So at the end, the first section is about the definition of Rishus HaRabim. And I'll explain in a few minutes, why do we have to give a definition of what the Rishus HaRabim is? Who cares what's an Issa Deraita, what's an Issa Derabbanan? With the Rabbanan, you're not permitted to carry in a Carmelist either. You're not permitted to carry from a Carmelist to Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelist, from a Carmelist to Rishus HaYochid, from Rishus HaYochid to a Carmelist. So the whole issue of definition of Rishus HaRabim should be irrelevant today. Orthodox Jews observe Dinam Derabbanan also, with the same zeal that they observe Dinam Deraita, almost with the same zeal, not exactly the same zeal. So what's the whole issue? Why do we have to give a definition as to what is the Rishus HaRabim Deraita? So the answer is, in this sugya and Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah has a machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, in the days of the Baal Shem Tov, they used to have the Oyel HaBigolim used to travel on the highway three times a year to reach Yerushalayim, and they didn't carry with them bottles of water, so much water. So they used to have boros, that the Oyel HaBavel dug boros on the highway in order to facilitate the Aliyah LaRegel. And there were ladders going down in the boros, and the people with the behemoths couldn't climb down the ladders, but the people could climb down the ladders. The boros of Rishus HaYochid has walls all around it, and it has dalal al dalal sochim, so they could get water in the boros and drink all the water that they want. The shayla is the behemoths. The behemoths can't climb down the ladder. The behemoths would get killed if they climbed down. So the regalim had to carry water from the boros, had to climb down the ladder, carry water up the ladder, and feed it to the behemoths on top. The behemoths on top are either in the Rishus HaRabim or in the Carmelist. They're not standing in the Rishus HaYochid. These boros used to be on the highway, on the sides of the highway. You can't have the bor in the middle of the highway, the people fall into the bor. So you used to make the boros on the side of the highway. So how do you carry the mayim from the Rishus HaYochid, the bor, on top of the bor to feed the animals? So they used to make pasigurus, they used to make a mechitza around the bor. You make a mechitza around the bor, make a fence around the bor, so you're taken away from the highway, taken away from the width of the highway, so they didn't do that. So the Mishnah, the second perek in Erevin, is called perek oisin pasi. Pasi b'rois means, and you may have some children, this can't be fit, okay. Pasi b'rois means like this. If you have a bor over here, you have a two walls at a right angle over here, and over here, and the four corners. So the Mishnah assumes that Minatora that constitutes a Rishus HaYochid, even though it's parts, even though it's Yifrat in the middle. You don't have a continuous wall enclosing the whole area. So you just have these passing in the four corners, and each pass is an Amah by an Amah, and over here it's an Amah by an Amah, and each quarter is an Amah by an Amah. And then you have many, many Amahs missing in the middle. So that's called Pasei Biraos. Biraos are the boros in the middle. That's the picture that you have in the Gemara. The boros in the middle doesn't have to be in the shape of a circle, but it may be. And then you have these four things in the corners. So the Gemara is saying, where's the pasuk? There's no pasuk. That's halacha l'Moshe Mitzina, that's acceptable. That's considered a good mechitza min haTorah. So normally, midrabbanan, we wouldn't accept such a mechitza because it's paras merubah v'aymer. There's more missing in the middle. The Gemara says there are a lot of amos in the middle. 9.5 amos missing in the middle. There's only one amos. There's so much missing, midrabbanan, it's no good. But since it's good min haTorah, so for the purpose of Oile Regalim only, for the purpose of the Oile Regalim traveling to Yerushalayim, we make a mitzvah to feed the behemoth, to feed the people, we're not makel, that they should draw the water downstairs, down the ladder, in the bor, in the Rishus Eich, and carry the water up and drink it upstairs. That we're not makel, because they have a brera to drink it in the bor. But as far as feeding the behemoth is concerned, so the make a mitzvah since the Oile Regal, so we're makel. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Tanoim have a machlokes. Where exactly are these Pasi Biros located? Where is this whole square located? It's not in the middle of the highway. Middle of the highway, so someone's going to fall in over there. So it's on the side of the highway. So the shayla is on the side of the highway also.
If the traffic goes through and through, if the people are saying it's going through and through like this,
the whole purpose of a mechitza is to enclose the area inside that it should be considered a reshus hayochid. Means it's enclosed. What's heist enclosed? That it's impenetrable. You can't go through. But if you have it, it's invisible. Mechitza is over here. You just have an amo by an amo over here, and an amo and amo in each corner, and then it doesn't prevent any traffic at all. So does that constitute a mechitza? Halacha l'maaseh, is that a good mechitza? So it's a machloek is satanayim, Rabbi Yudin and Rabban. Shaila, how we paskin? So then the Gemara says, on Chol Beis HaMinhal, truth of the matter is that they all agree. Both Rabbi Yudin and Rabban, they both hold that there is a problem. Also, Rabban Vatan Mechitza cancels the mechitza. They just argue, when do we apply that rule? So the rule is, if it's a sturdy mechitza, then Bikuah harabim, the fact that the traffic goes through, heavy traffic goes through, doesn't bother me. But if it's a mechitza bria, that's the expression that Rishonim use to sum up the maskanas like Marfa. You have a mechitza bria as opposed to a mechitza grua. Mechitza bria means a healthy, a sturdy mechitza. Mechitza grua is a shvach mechitza. So when is it considered a mechitza bria? When is it considered a mechitza grua? So that's a machlokes of Yudin and the Rabban. So one Tana says, if you have something on all four sides, then it's called a mechitza bria. If you only have on three sides, then it's not. The other one says, no, if it's missing too much, it's just a detail, a major machlekes, but it's basically only a detail machlekes. What do we consider mechitza bria, and when do we consider it a mechitza grua, as far as applying this rule? So then, Taisus has a little innocent comment on the side of the Gemara. The Gemara has a kasha and a teretz, all discussion until they come to this conclusion that both the Rabbi and the Rabban subscribe to the rule of Asa Rabban Vatan Mechitza, and both distinguish between Mechitza Bria and Mechitza Grua, and they just argue which is what he holds in Mechitza Grua, they hold as a Mechitza Bria. And what they hold as a Mechitza Grua, he holds as a Mechitza Bria. So then Taisus has an innocent comment on the side over there that they think that the only time there's a problem, the only time there's what to discuss regarding what the Rabban Vatan Mechitza, the whole Machlokes HaBira the Rabbanan, the whole discussion only applies if the Mechitza is needed Min HaTorah. But if you don't need the Mechitza Min HaTorah at all, if Min HaTorah, it is the Rishus HaYachid anyway, the Tosfos gives the following mashal. Let's say you have an area that's enclosed, the three Mechitza doesn't have any wall at all on the fourth side. This is a famous machlokes in the first perek in Masechah Shabbos. What's the din? So most of the Rishonim say that's considered a Rishus HaYachid Min HaTorah. And the whole need for the tikkun on the roof of is that you have to put something on the fourth wall is only with the Rabbah. That's the first Mishnah in Erevin. It says if you have a mavu, you have an area that's enclosed with three walls, so the fourth wall you can make them. If it's a mavu, you can put a lechi, you can put a kori, you can do all kinds of tricks you can do. What kind of shtiklech is this? So the Gemara says, because Min HaTorah, you're allowed to carry the whole need for the tikkun on the fourth wall is only with the Rabbah. So most of Rishonim understand Pshat, why are you permitted to carry Min HaTorah? Because it's a Rishus HaYachid. That's why you're allowed to carry Min HaTorah. To be considered Rishus HaYachid, all you need are three walls. The walls don't have to be at right angles to each other. Let's say you'll have like this. Also three walls.
Shabbos, what if you have like this? You have a right to draw this imaginary line and say you have three walls. For the area enclosed over here, you have three walls.
So the Mishnah Brura
has Nevir Halacha, he draws such a diagram, he prints such a diagram, and he says that that's not good Menatar, because you don't have three walls. The Pasha Pshat is, in the Mishnah Brura, it's not good to declare the whole square as the Rishus HaYachid. Because you don't have three walls. On the outer part, you don't have, on the inner part, perhaps, on this part, perhaps, it is considered three walls. Like this is three walls.
So the Chazanish writes, the holy Mishnah Brura wrote, printed a diagram, a right angle, and he says that you don't have three walls that exist even inside the triangle, those are not three walls. He says the Mishnah, the Chazanish has, he developed a whole new scheme over here. All intuition. He says if the angle would be less than 90 degrees, then it's like this. It'll take three walls. But if the angle is 90 degrees or more, then it's not even considered three walls on the inside triangle. Okay. Then he goes, more tziur, more pictures, but what you say, it's all intuition, tzachidish. And he thinks that this is included in the Mishnah Brura's diagram. Mishnah Brura, the Pasha Mishad Mishnah Brura is talking about the whole square. It's not a Mishnah Sadiach. You can say the inside triangle is. But that's what the Chazanish says, okay. So most of the Rishonim assume that if you have three walls, the whole need for the Tikkun on the roof of is only with the Rabbanon. That's the first Mishnah in Erevin. Because if you have three walls, it's a Mishnah Sayach Minatar. In the Rambam, there's a contradiction. There's two, both in Hilchas Shabbos. In the case of Mishnah, points out the contradiction. In one place, the Rambam writes, if you have three walls, it's a Mishnah Sayach. The other place, the Rambam writes, if you have three walls, you're permitted to carry Minatar because it's a Carmelite. It's not a Mishnah Sayach, but it's not a Mishnah Sayach either, unless it has four walls. You have to be Mukaf and Kolazon. So that's a problem. So the case of Mishnah tries to suggest the Teretz on the Rambam. Interesting. A glaring contradiction both in Hilchos Shabbos. So it's not that one is over there and one is over there. Both in Hilchos Shabbos. So he suggests maybe it depends what is it border on the fourth side. What's doing on the fourth side? So he suggests if on the fourth side is the Rishus Rabim Deraisa, then inside the three mechitzas will only be a Carmelis. But if on the fourth side is only a Carmelis, then inside the three walls is the Rishus HaYochid. What does it make a difference what's on the fourth side? What do I care what's on the fourth side? If you have three walls, is it a Rishus HaYochid? Is it not? So apparently the case is Mishnah thinks in the Shita Saramam that there is a concept, Deraisa, of Nifrat L'makam HaOsolo. There is a halacha. We know that halacha is midirabbanan for sure. So the case Mishnah says that halacha is rooted in its deraisa. This is a common problem. Nifrat from makam asala means like this: I make an eruv around the whole community. Sure, so everything is covered with a mechitza, but you have a tunnel. You have a bridge that starts, let's say over here, the George Washington. But let's imagine that they put up walls, mamish fences around the edge of Manhattan. So the whole of Manhattan would be considered a Rishus HaYochid. We'll get to the details later, another couple of weeks. Let's say they put a fence around the whole Manhattan. So the whole Manhattan is a Rishus HaYochid. But the George Washington Bridge doesn't begin at the tip of the island. The George Washington Bridge starts five blocks in, starts in the middle of Washington Heights. So you can, and then you have tunnels that go out of Manhattan also that start in the middle of Manhattan. You have an enclosed Manhattan, and you can leave Manhattan to go to a Makam HaAtzolah without crossing a Mechitza. You can go over the George Washington Bridge, but there is no Mechitza. Mechitza is on the edge of the island, and the bridge begins and it goes over the Mechitza. The bridge begins five blocks in, and it goes over the Mechitza of the edge of the island. So that's an issue with the Rabbanon. That's called Nifrat L'makam Asala. If you have an area that's enclosed and it's a bona fide Rishus HaYochid Menat Torah, but you can walk out of the Rishus HaYochid without crossing a Mechitza, that will remind you, hey, you can only carry Adkan V'lo Yoser, so we don't even permit you to carry in the Rishus HaYochid. It's there in the Rabbanon that you may carry outside of the Rishus HaYochid. So we usually assume that whole institution, that whole din is a din with the Rabbanon. That's there in the Rabbanon, Nifrat L'makam Asala. Not rooted in any din deraisa. It's a hashash. It's a hashash. If you'll allow people to carry in the area, you may continue to carry, may go out of the area without crossing any mechitza because nothing to remind you. So this Kesef Mishnah writes on the Rambam. Rambam thinks, no, that there is some kind of a din deraisa of Nifret Lamaka Masala. He says if you have the area that has the three mechitzes, and on the fourth side of the border is on a Rishus HaRabim, that the inside of the area is not called the Rishus HaYochid. Most of this is a Carmelist. You're allowed to carry Menatar in a Carmelist. So you can still be Mekel on the Tikkun on the Ruach Aviv. Still what to be Mekel about. But still, the inside of the area will only be a Carmelist. But if on the fourth side is a Mokum Tur, on the open fourth side is a Carmelist, it's not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So it's not Nifet Lamakam HaOsel on the level of Deraisa. Then the Rambam writes, that's the Kesef Mishnah's answer, the Rambam holds that inside the three mechitzas of the Rishus HaYochid, it'll be a Rishus HaYochid Menater. So again, so most of the Rishonim assume if you have three mechitzas, it's a Rishus HaYochid Menater, and the Rambam sometimes holds yes and sometimes holds no. Sometimes he holds that it's a Rishus HaYochid, and sometimes he holds that it's only a Carmelist, and the Kesef Mishnah claims that's the answer. Okay, maybe some other answer. So, Taisa assumes, like most of the Rishonim, you have three mechitzes, doesn't matter what's on the fourth side. The area inside the three mechitzes, you're allowed to carry Menatar because it's a Rishus HaYochid. So clearly, the whole Tikkun on the Ruach Aviyus is only Medir Rabbanim, but more than that, not only is only Medir Rabbanim, Menatar is Lomal of a Mamor. It doesn't make a difference whether you do put the fourth wall or you don't put the fourth wall. The whole inside is the Rishus HaYochid anyway. According to the Rambam, if you have three mechitzes, inside is a Carmelist, you're allowed to carry Menatar, but if you put a fourth wall, it'll change the nature of the area inside Menatar. It'll be elevated to the level of Rishus HaYochid. There's a difference between Rishus HaYochid and a Carmelist. Let's say somebody carries from Rishus HaRabim into a Carmelist. So it's only prohibited with Rabbana. It's not Chayiv Koris, it's not Chayiv Skila. But if he carries from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, it's Chayiv Kato, it's an Issa Deraisa. So Taisus writes, this innocent little Taisus on Daf Chav Beis Hamanav doesn't really have a hechrach in the Gemara at all. A little three-line Taisus writes, the only time the Gemara has this whole discussion in Machlokes Rabbeinu and Rabbanan, whether mechitzas brias, mechitzas gruas, when are you worried about osir rabim and vatal mechitza, when you're not concerned about osir rabim and vatal mechitza, that's only if you're talking about a case where you need mechitzas menatar. But if you have three mechitzas anyway, and then your fourth mechitzas, you put up a fourth mechitza, which Minatar is absolutely lo ma'alav lo moriz. It doesn't change anything because inside was Rishus HaYochid anyway, Minatar. Point to Taisus and Rav Rishonim. So Taisus writes a chiddush that this fourth wall, you don't have to worry about Osir Rabim Vatal Mechitza. You can have all the heavy traffic you want going through here, and it doesn't bother me. That's a chiddush that Taisus writes. So the Mordechai in Perek Hador is one of the later prokim in Erevin. The evidence of the Marmar Mekoyim is here. Mordechai Simon Tov Kuf Tes. All the Mordechais have numbers. Every paragraph has another number. So Mordechai in Perek Hador, number 509, Tov Kuf Tes, quotes in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg, that was the end of the Tkufa of the Bali Atesis, that they used to make a Reuven all over in France and Germany. They had little villages. They didn't have big cities like New York, like Paris. They had little cities. So he says, you can make an Erev in any little village you want, and you never have to be worried about the fact the Erev always has to be very hidden. If you're going to have an Erev that's going to block the traffic, so the Goyim will stone you and they'll rip down the Erev. So you have to have an Erev that doesn't affect the Jews or the non-Jews. The cars can go through, you can play ball in the Erev, out of the Erev, as well. It doesn't affect any change in the traffic at all. So the question is, so how is any Erev any good? It's always also Rabban Bat on the Chitza, the traffic is going through. So the Maharam Rutenberg says, just like Taisus said that the mechitza on the fourth wall is only needed midirabbanan, and since it's only needed midirabbanan, you don't have to be concerned about osir rabim vatal mechitza. You can have all the traffic you want. So since our little villages are so little, they're not a rishus rabim deraisa, and he gives a reason. So since the whole concern of carrying that we're worried about, the whole issue of tiltu is only midirabbanan, you don't have to worry bichlal about osir rabim vatal mechitza. Just make an Erev and shine, you don't have to worry. What prompts him to say that because the villages are so small, there's no issue of carry? See, this is really already a major step. This is a giant step. There's a big jump from what Taisus said. Taisus didn't say that. Taisus only said, on the fourth wall, which is Menatar lo malav lo moriz, even if you don't have the wall, it's considered as if you have the wall, because this side is a Rishus HaYochid Menatar. You have to remember this. Taisus said, on such a case, You don't have to worry about also Rabbi Mata Mechitza. Maharam Rutberg already extended it. He took a giant step further. He's talking about a little village, which when Atara he considers a Carmelist, because it's such a small little village, he holds you have to have a certain high population in order to be considered a Rishisaram Deraisa. Because the little villages are so small, so it's not considered Rishisaram Deraisa, but it's a Carmelist Minatara. And if you put an Arab around it, you're making it into Rishisayachit. So the Arab that you're making is relevant to Minatara. You're converting a Carmelist into Rishisayachit. So he says, nonetheless, you don't have to worry about Asir Rabban Batan Mechitza. Whenever the issue of Tilsul, whenever the issue of Haitzah is only with Rabbanan, that's his understanding of Tosfos. Then you don't have to worry about Asir Rabban Batan Mechitza. So this is the original source that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That whenever you're interested in making an Erev, you're going to have to make the Erev in such a way that it's not going to affect the flow of traffic. So you're always going to be faced with the problem of Asir Rabban Batan Mechitza. So in order to overcome that problem, you have to first declare that the area that you're working on is not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. If it's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, the Erev doesn't get off the ground because of this issue of Asir Rabim and Vatim Mechitza. So that's why it's important to ascertain what constitutes a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. We have an issue Deraisa. But is it only a Carmelist? But the whole issue of carrying is only with the Rabbanon, so then you don't have to worry about Asir Rabim and Vatim Mechitza. So this is one reason why we have to work on the definition of Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. We'll work on it in a minute. Then there's another reason. If you look later in the outline of the Shiurim, the fourth section, that's on page 2, the fourth section that we're going to get to, not today, in a few weeks, fourth section of the Klolim of Tzuras HaPesach, what we call in Yiddish an Erev, you have the two poles and the wire on top, the string on top of Tzuras HaPesach. So the first of the sources there is the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha quotes a Prima Godim. The Prima Godim is not sure. He raises a new topic. Prima Godim always on the whole Shulchan Aruch. Prima Godim always raises the first question is and every line in Shulchan Aruch is this the Raisa the Rabbanan? Is that the Raisa the Rabbanan? Every sneeze you have to wear tefillin. Is that the Raisa the Rabbanan? Still have to be square. Is that the Raisa the Rabbanan? It has to be black. Is that the Raisa the Rabbanan? Have to do the Shema. Is that the Raisa the Rabbanan? Every single line of Shulchan Aruch, that's what he discusses. Is it the Raisa the Rabbanan? That's an important question. It's important to know whether the demon he's dealing with, and if it's the Raisa, where is the Pasuk? Where is everything Halacha Moshe Messina? So the Prima Godim discusses Tzuras HaPesach. He's not sure whether Tzuras HaPesach is the Raisa the Rabbanan. If you have two poles and you have a wire on top, maybe it's only an invention with the Rabbanan. Maybe the Minatar, there is no such thing. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the suffix of the people. What do you mean? But we rely on the Erev to carry. We make an Erev with the Tzuras HaPesach. We rely on it to carry. If it's only a make-believe thing with the Rabbanan, how do you rely on the Erev? So the people go and says, maybe what we call in Yiddish the Erev, the Tzuras HaPesach, maybe it's only good if the issue of Haitzah is only with the Rabbanan. So then you say, hey, Mama, hey, Mama, the whole prohibition of carrying in this area is only with the Rabbanan to begin with because it's really a Carmelist. It's not a real issue. So Rabbanan writes it. To solve a problem, the Rabbanon, so the solution, the Rabbanon, is good for that problem. But if you have a real Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, you have a real Shabbat Deraisa Rishus HaRabim, it's not going to help an Erev to make the Eri inside into a Rishus HaYach. So this is the suffix of the Prima Godim. The Chazon Ish quotes this. Usually the Chazon Ish doesn't quote Prima Godim, but he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Prima Godim. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godim. He has to quote it. Mishnah Berurah quotes it. So he says that it's wrong. Prima Godim made a mistake. It's wrong. See, the Chazon Ish was not a Galician. Prima Godim was a Galician. He lived in Germany. He was a Malamed. He taught in Germany, in Frankfurt, the other Frankfurt, whatever it's called. He taught, had a Parnassus there. And he was a tutor of some children in a family, and the parent of the family paid him a lot of money. He said, tutor his children. He's a Malamed for children. And he paid for the printing of his bar. But he was basically, he came from Galicia. So if the Chazon Ish would have been a Galiciana, he wouldn't just machabek a Prima Godim. He wasn't his guy, so. They said Prima Godim is wrong because it's a Beferish Gemara in Erevin on Dr. Rav and Alza Mishnah that there is a, and he said, there is, you're not allowed to plant Kilayim in Eretz Yisrael. Kiloy HaKerem, let's say. And he said, there is. So let's say I have grapes over here, and I have grain over here. And then within dalarams of each other, Mishnah is sometimes dalarams, sometimes more, sometimes less. Let's say the shear is dalarams. So it's an Issa Deraisa of Kalai.
So if you put a wall in between, so then you can plant grain all the way up until the wall, you can plant the grapes up until the wall,
and you don't have to worry about any Kalai if you have a wall. Aye, but the wall doesn't go below the ground. There's a Yanika below the ground, doesn't bother me. The Yanika is Lama Lama, as long as you have a wall on top. What if the wall is only 10 tefachim tall, and everything is leaning, the grapes and the grain, everything is leaning on top of each other, also doesn't bother me. What if the bottom 10 tefachim of the wall is just a fence that has big holes in it, doesn't bother me. What if it's on Erev? What if it's a Tzuras HaPesach? The mamish growing on each other. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says it's okay. An Erev is okay. In the summer, if you have an Arab in shul, you have the men sitting on this side, the women sitting on that side, and you have an Arab in between, and they're leaning on each other in the summer, it's no good. Some Tzuras HaPesach is not acceptable, but the Gemara says it's Erev. A Tzuras HaPesach is acceptable to be Matir and Issa Kilayim Deraisa. If you have a Tzuras HaPesach, you can plant the grapes up until this edge, and the grain up until that edge, and there's no problem. So you see, the Erev that Tzuras HaPesach is a Din Deraisa, it's Matir, Kilayim HaKerem, and Eretz Yisrael, where it's an Issa Deraisa. So the Chazon Ish writes the Prima Gaudim, with all the respect, is wrong, made a mistake. Tzuras HaPesach works when it doesn't only work when you're dealing with an issue of the Rabbanon. So this is the Rabbanon solution for a problem, the Rabbanon. It works to solve problems that arise as well. Because I'm not so keen about throwing out any lines from the Prima Gaudim. So they farem for the kasha. They farem for the kasha. They say, what do you think, you're going to have the Prima Gaudim with enough in the Gemara? Mark quotes a Mishnah or a Braisa that Tzuras HaPesach is good to be mad to climb the Reis. So they explain, this is very important, the chilek that they gave is very important, relevant for other halachas. May not be correct over here, but it's relevant for other things. They say that there's a difference between the concept of Mechitz and Hilchus Shabbos as opposed to the concept of Mechitz and Hilchus Erevin. Let's say I want to carry on Shabbos. I want to carry over here. I'll put a Mechitz over here. Sure. So I'm going to carry over here. I have an Erev. So that's meaningless. What do you mean, an Erev? You have to have a complete circuit. You have to have walls or fences or buildings or Tzuras HaPesach that continue to connect with each other. So then the inside is considered a Mishus. I can't just put a wall. I don't care what it's doing. Let's say, as long as I want to carry, let's say the city has an Erev. I want to carry in this part of the city. I fell down on the other part of the city. Well, that's not my problem. I don't want to carry there. I want to carry over here. No. But if something fell down anywhere, so you don't have a complete circuit, so it's not a good Erev. But as far as Kilayim is concerned, well, just as you plant the grapes over here, the grain on here, you just have a fence in between. The fence doesn't have to constitute a complete circuit. It's not a Mechitza HaMakefet. In Hilchus Shabbos, you need a Mechitza HaMakefet. There's Makef an area, and it closes the area inside. The Hilchus Kilayim just want a Mechitza HaMapsekes. A mechitza hamavdeva, that the grapes are over here, the grain is over there, and they're not near each other, so that's good enough. So these Galutiana Achrayim on Erevin, they want to say the Prima Gaudim didn't necessarily make a mistake. It could be that although the Gemara assumes that Tzuras HaPesach is a din deraisa in Kilayim, in Kilay HaKerem, it's a mechitza hamavsekes, but for Hilchus Shabbos purposes that you require mechitza hamakefes, maybe ad kedei kach not. Maybe it's not considered a mechitza hamakef. Okay. So basically, these are the two reasons why it's generally assumed whenever you want to make an Erev around a bungalow colony, a camp, a city, whatever, North America, whenever you want to make an Erev around an area, so first you have to declare that the area that we're working on is only a carmelit. We don't have any problem derived. And the two reasons being, first of all, there is an issue of Asir Rabbim and Vasla Mechitza. And the whole, whenever we make an Erev, we have to make it in such a way that it doesn't interfere with the flow of traffic. Otherwise, they won't let us make any Erev. So if it doesn't interfere with the flow of traffic, so the problem of Asir Rabbim and Vasla Mechitza will always appear. So the solution to that problem is what the Maharam Rittenberg said, based on the Tesis and Dafka Beit HaMelav. Whenever the issue of Hatzor that you're working on is only the Rabbanon, then you don't have to worry about us, the Rabbanon, about the Mechitza. If you can declare the area is only a Carmelist, so the whole prohibition of carrying is only the Rabbanon, so then you can rely on the area despite the fact that you have the problem of us, the Rabbanon, about the Mechitza. And then the second reason why you have to first declare, not all the Rishonim are concerned about us, the Rabbanon, about the Mechitza. Some of them say that a Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Bria. I can see a Mechitza Bria, the most flimsy thing in the world. The Rizwa writes like that. So it's a Pesach is a Mechitza Bria. Rizwa not called Beis writes. Why? He says, what is the idea behind the Tzuras HaPesach? Halacha Moshim Sinai. What's the idea behind it? Whenever you build a house, let's say we have a house, we have a room, so the area inside is enclosed by the wall. So if you're going to have the area is enclosed by the walls, how are people going to get inside? They have to go by helicopter. They have to climb in the window. No, you have a door. So what do you do when the door is open? There's no mechitza. The fact that the wall continues on top of the door, the mechitza has to be within three tefachim to the ground. If you have a mechitza tluya, the mechitza above three tefachim to the ground, that's no good. We'll have to get to that later. Why is it no good? Mechitza tluya. Achlagin satana, we pass and it's no good. But Allah said it's no good. So when the door is open, so you have to stop carrying. Everybody has to hold their breath. You have to stop carrying inside. So obviously that's ridiculous. So Allah says, as long as you have the frame of the door, the Tzuras HaPesach, you have the frame of the door, even though the door is open, even though the door is detached. The Tzuras HaPesach is considered a mechitza min haTorah. So the Ritzvah writes, and what's the nature of the frame of a door? A Tzuras HaPesach is to enable people or automobiles to go in and out, whatever, to enable traffic to go in and out. That's what the whole purpose of the door is for. You don't want everybody to fly with a helicopter or to climb up a ladder or to climb down a ladder. You make a door to make it easier to go. So the whole nature of the door is to enable people to go in and out. So the Ritzvah says you can't, you don't have to be worried about Asir Rab Lata Mechitza when you have a Tzuras HaPesach. That's the whole purpose of a Tzuras HaPesach. So that's what the Ritzvah says. When you make a Tzuras HaPesach, there's no problem about the Rab Mata Mechitza because that's what Tzuras HaPesach is all about. Other Rishonim paskin that we don't have to worry about Asir Rab Mata Mechitza in most cases. So the first consideration, we said there are two reasons why you have to first declare that the area that you want to be makiv is only a karmelis. If you have a real shus rab deraisa, we don't allow you to make an error. So the first reason is because we're concerned about asir rab matan mechitza. But that's not muskam l'chol adeis. There are some rishonim hold that you don't have to worry about asir rab matan mechitza. So the second reason why we're worried is because of this prima godis. The Mishnah Berurah quoted this prima godis. That it could be that the idea of a Tzuras HaPesach, what we call in Yiddish the Erev, could be the whole thing of an invention of the Rabbanon. It only works to solve a problem, the Rabbanon, based on the concept of the Heimam and the Heimamri. The rabbis invented a problem so they can invent a solution. But if you have a problem, the Raisa, the real Shusaram, the Raisa, so maybe the whole Tzuras HaPesach idea is only the Rabbanon can't solve a problem, the Raisa. So even though the Chazanish thinks that the Prima Gada made a mistake, he's wrong, but others are not so convinced. The Mishnah Berurah quoted it. He's not, like it's a real topic. And the Galatian Achrayim defended the Kasha against it, defended the Prima Gada. So these are the two reasons why it's important to learn what constitutes a Rishu Saram Deraisa, when is it only a Karmelis? Because before you begin to make an Erev, you have to declare, because of these two reasons, you have to declare that the area that you're trying to enclose is only a Karmelis. So what are the rules and regulations? So the first rule that we had was from this Maharam Rutenberg, we said before. Maharam Rutenberg says that all over in France and Germany, they all make an Erev, all the Balei HaTeis, many Eruvim, and all the little villages, because such a small population, so that's not enough to be considered a Mishum Saram Deraisa. Where did you get this idea from that you have to have a big population? What's the population? So Rashi and Tosfos in different places write like that, that you have to have the Shishim Ribo story. You have to have Shishim Ribo. Where do you get Shishim Ribo? Because the Gemara learns that all the Melachas of Shabbos from Melachas HaMishkan, whatever was necessary for the construction of the Mishkan. And Haitzoah is also in the Melachas HaMishkan. It's called the whole traveling in the Midbar. There were rules and regulations how they had to travel in the Midbar with the Machnos, with the Yud-Bek Machnos, with three Shvatim on this side. So this Hayra Shah of traveling wasn't the Hayra Shah how you travel. It didn't, and each Shevet had a Degel, had a flag. So this was the Hayra Shah of how to travel. No, this is Hayra Shah how you're supposed to build the Mishkan. The purpose of the traveling was to get to the new location and to erect again the Mishkan. So that's why the Mishnais learn out Hilchas Haitzoah from the Masoes and the Midbar, the way they were traveling in the Midbar. So the Gemara, there's a Mishnah and Daf Nun Tes and Aleph and Erevim, and the Mishnah makes a distinction between an Irshal Rabbim and an Irshal Yochid. So Rashi and Tosfos learn that that's what it means. An Irshal Rabbim means that you have Shishim Ribo with change. Rashash points that. The Rishonim always say Shishim Ribo, but it says Shesh Me'asel B'chamesh Nisalach and Mishpam Me'os B'chamishim. It's not Shishim Ribo. It's 605,000. What is it? Mishpam Me'os B'chamishim. 750. something? Okay. There's a little change left out over there. Okay, there's a little not meduyik to shisha mita. So that's where Rashi and Tosfos learn in the first paragraph. On Shabbos, they comment on the Gemara like that. The Gemara says, the Midbarais are Carmelists. So the Gemara, why is the Midbarais Carmelists? But the Bnei Yisrael traveling in the Midbarais of Shisaram Deraisa. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Bnei Yisrael were traveling with Shisaram Deraisa. But Zman is there, it's only a Carmelist. Why? The Rashi and Tosfos say, but the Bnei Yisrael were traveling, you have Shishin Riko. Zman is there, you don't have any Shishin Riko. So this concept, that's how Rashi and Tosfos interpret in the Gemara and Shabbos in the first paragraph on Daf Dalet, I think. Davok. And that's how they interpret in this Mishnah in Erev and on Daf Nuteh, Shal Yochid, Shal Rabim. That if you don't have the Shishim Rigo, so it's not Daimel the Digle Midbor, it's not similar to the Masois in the days of the Mishkan. And all the Malachas of Shabbos, including Hoytzoa, are learned out from the Mishkan, from the Masois. We learn out about the Hoytzoa. So you have to have Dafke Shishim Rigo. Many Rishonim disagree with this, because the expression Shishim Rigo never appears in the Gemara. Never appears. So the many of the Chachmi Svara don't agree. And the Chachmi Svara says there is no such thing. Never says it in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bizman she Yisrael hoyu ba mitbor, yeah. So it was Shisaram deraisa. Not necessarily because of Shishim Rigo, for other reasons. The Bizman is there, the mitbor is a Carmelist. There's nothing, there's no requirement for Shishim Rigo. And the Mishnah says, Ir Shal Rabin versus Ir Shal Yochid, so the Ramban doesn't agree with Rashi and Tosfos. The Ramban there on Erevin, on Daf Notes, translates the words in the Mishnah differently. It doesn't mean Ir Shal Rabin populated by a large population of Shishim Riban. Ir Shal Yochid means a smaller population. He says Shal Rabin means it belongs to the Tzibur. Shal Yochid means it's privately owned. If, let's say, Rockefeller Plaza, in the middle of Manhattan, which belongs to Rockefeller Foundation, I think, is not a Rishisaram Deraisa, because it belongs to a private person. It has to belong to the municipality to be considered a Rishisaram Deraisa. So that's a Gemara. That everybody agrees. That's a Gemara on the Chobes, Omer Aleph, and Masechet Ervin. That the Gemara says, in order to constitute a Rishisaram Deraisa, it has to be Shel Rabim, in the sense it has to belong to the community. If it belongs to a Yachid, even though it's open to the public, it's not going to be a Rishisaram Deraisa. So the Ramban says, that's what the Mishnah said. Mishnah and Erevin on Daphne Tess and Ralph that speaks about the difference between Yershal Yochid and the close to Yershal Rabbim. That's what it means. Yershal Yochid means a city that belongs to one person and he rents out apartments to people, and you have a tremendous population, way more than Shishim Rigo. But since the whole city is owned by one person, it's privately owned. It's not owned by the municipality. The streets are not owned by the municipality. It's privately owned. So the Ramban says, that's a Gemara, that's not considered. It's not a Shusa Yochid, but it's not a Shusa Ram Deraisa either. It'll only be a Carmelist. So for many centuries, the practice was in Europe that they used to make a Ruvin, all based on this Maharam Rutenberg that was quoted by the Mordechai in the end of Erevin, the Perikador, that he writes that the Minig is in France and Germany. Everybody makes a Ruvin in the little villages. All based on that Tosfos and Daf Chavos, that whenever the whole issue of Hoytzoa is only the Rabbanon, then you don't have to be concerned about Osir Rabim and Batal Mechitza. And all the little villages, the populations are so small, it's less than Shishim Ribos, so it's not Rishus Rabim. The writers say there's no problem. That's what the Maharam writes. And that indeed was the practice for many, many centuries. And the Taz writes, famous expression, it's so popular, everybody knows that. If you don't have Shishim Riba, it's not Rishus around their eyes. So they write as if a baskol had come down from heaven and declared that that's the deal. And we all know that there never was such a baskol. And then not everybody agrees to this. This is only Rashi and Tosfos, and many, many, many Rishonim disagree. But the Taz points out a strange phenomenon. Why are we all relying on this kula? Why the Ashkenazim? This Vardin Taka never relied on. Why the Ashkenazim rely on this kula that the lack of Shishim Riba right away cancels the status of Shisaram Deraisa? And once it's only a Carmelist, we permit you to make this flimsy Erev with the Shuras HaPesach and not to worry about Osir Rabim Batal Mechitza. How come? Very strange. So the Mishkan of Yankiv, Abyanka Lekalina, was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Valozhin. Chaim Valozhin Talmud of the Vilna Gaon founded the Valozhin Yeshiva in 1801 or something, lasted for 90 years. Closed in 1891, something like that. So Rabbi Yankel Kalina was one of the first Talmidim. He was an original thinker. He was the Rav and Karlin, so they have Karlin Hasidim. So he was a staunch Misnagid. because he has a lot of friction with the Chassidim. He has a lot of tshuvas in his sefer Mishneh Tankers attacking the Chassidim that they don't put on tefillin on Chol Moed. The Vilna Gaon didn't put on tefillin on Chol Moed, but because the Chassidim don't put on tefillin, so that's why it's wrong. So he has a tshuva proving that the Zohar says you do put on tefillin. The Zohar says you don't put on tefillin. He explains why it's not so. There is no such Zohar. And he has a lot of tshuvas that the Chassidim went out of their way to have dafke green as Shrogim, because the Zohar says you should have green, so he says there is no such Zohar either. Yorok in the Zohar means brown or yellow. Yorok Ikarsi is green. Yorok doesn't mean green. He has a lot of tshuvas that attack Chassidim. So this was, by the Chassidim, it was very popular in Poland. In Poland, everybody had a Reuven, and in Lithuania, less. So he was a real Litvak, a real Misnagit. So he was opposed to all of the a Reuven. He said, "What are they talking about? They're basing the whole kula on the lack of the Shishim Ribo." And he gives a whole list of all the Rishonim who don't subscribe. He gives you a list of those who do subscribe to the Shishim Ribo, and a whole list. He didn't have a complete list. He didn't have all the scores. It's so many years ago. In the middle of the 1800s, so he gives you a whole list of all those who hold that you don't need Shishim Ribo, and is very unhappy about all the Eruv. He holds he shouldn't have an Eruv. So he was a contemporary of Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a businessman. He was not a rabbi. He was a very learned person. He was the rabbi. He wrote a lot of Svarim that he's famous for. So Ephraim Zalman Margolius had this correspondence with the Mishkan and Tzianke back and forth. So he was disagreeing with him. Ephraim Zalman Margolius lived in Galicia and he was defending all the Eruvs with the Shishim Ribo story, with the other. Oh, the Mishkan and Tzianke had a few points that he was unhappy about. So Ephraim Zalman Margolius defended everything and he kept on writing back, he doesn't agree. So both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah were written after this whole debate between Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius and the Mishkan et Yankev. So they both write that there was a great goyim who wrote this tshuvas, Mishkan et Yankev, Rabbi Yankel de Karlina, and he shook up the whole world and he said, how do we all rely on this flimsy kula, the lack of Shishim Ribo, cancel the status of Shisaram Deraita, you can make an Erev, some in the Rishonim don't believe, and the Shishim Ribo, it's 50-50, could be it's even less than 50-50, how are we relying on this? So the Mishnah Berurah writes a defense, the Bir Halacha writes a defense of the practice. So he says, if you're really dealing with an issue deraisa, if there's really a concern that you have a shusaram deraisa, how can you rely on the lack of Shishim Ribo? 50-50. How do we know that the lack of Shishim Ribo knocks it down to a karmelit? But he says, we're putting an Erev around it. So the whole problem is also Rabbi Mabasa Mechitzis. He says, many Rishonim hold, you don't worry about also Rabbi Mabasa Mechitzis in most of the cases. So he says, on the level, and many Rishonim hold, on the level of their Reis, you don't have to worry about also Rabbi Mabasa Mechitzis. The whole concern about also Rabbi Mabasa Mechitzis itself is only a concern with the Rabbi. So that's how the Mishnah Berurah defends the practice. On the level of their Reis, the Erev is good, even if it's in Shusaram, the Reis of the Erev is good. Because the whole concern about the Rabban Matan Mechitza, the whole chashash is only with the Rabban. But since you're only worried with the Rabban, so then you can take the Rabban on the Kuli. You can rely on the Hef of the Rishonim who say that if you don't have Shishim Ribo, there's no issue there, right? So if it's only the Rabban, so for sure you don't have to worry about also Rabban Matan Mechitza. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. It's a little flimsy. So that's why other Poskim wrote, maybe there are other Tzadim. Maybe there are other reasons why we can declare an area as a karmelis. The only thing is going to be because of lack of Shishim Ribo. So just to collect all the different Mekoros in the Gemara says in order to be considered a Rishusaram Deraisa, the streets have to be a minimum of 16 amas wide. If you have little gesalot, little narrow alleyways that are less than 16 amas wide, so that doesn't constitute a Rishusaram Deraisa. That's not going to help too much by us. We don't live in Meshur. All of our streets are much wider, way more than 16 amas. But we're going to talk about this shiur, Tezayin am a little later. Then the Gemara has another kalal, if you have Rishus HaRabim Mekurim, if you have a roof on top of Rishus HaRabim, or in a section of Rishus HaRabim, so the section where you have the roof over is not done in the Digrei Midbar, so it's not considered a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. That's a Gemara in... That's the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, and that's Tzadik Ches. The Sfasemis points out on that Gemara, this issue comes up, I think, the end of December, maybe even Thanksgiving season. Here on St. Nicholas, there are certain seasons of the year where they stretch sheets, plastic sheets, across the whole street, from one side of the street to the other. Or they have awnings, sometimes the awnings in front of the shops are open, sometimes the awnings are closed. So let's say you have these sheets that they stretch over the street just for a week, just between December 25th and January 1st, or Thanksgiving time, to encourage more shopping, more customers, whatever. So the Sfasemis points out that if you look in that Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Chesam and Aleph, it's beferish, that even if the Tikra, the Rishus HaRabim Mekura, even if the Tikra is only temporary, when the Tikra is there, the area below the Tikra is not considered the Rishus HaRabim Derayta. It doesn't have to be Dafka permanent Tikra. Even if it's only a temporary Tikra, it's also, it proves it from the Gemara like that. The Bailos HaRabim, that's the Beferish in the Gemara, that it's only considered a Rishus HaRabim Derayta if it's Mistoral HaRabim, if it's owned by the municipality, if it's a private owned area, even though it has heavy traffic and everything, that's enough in the Gemara. That's not going to be Rishus HaRabim Derayta. The Shishim Ribo, that's a Machlokes HaRishayim, whether you need Shishim Ribo or not, that's a Machlokes HaRishayim. Then the Gemara seems to have a rule that's very unclear, that it's on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, on the top line on Amid Beis, that it's only considered the Rishus HaRabim Derayta if it's Mefulish. Let's say you have a street that's a dead end. You can only go in and you can't go out the other end. So then the Gemara says that will not be Rishus HaRabim Derayta. So what does that mean, a dead end? In Flatbush, there's a lot of dead ends. Around Brooklyn College, Mamish dead end. You can't go by there. Over here, I live on Bennett Avenue. Bennett Avenue is not a dead end. When you get to 181st Street, you can go right or left, but you can't bump into the, you can't crash into the building. You can't go straight. So that's called Mefulish or Eidah Mefulish. What takes Mefulish? So it's very unclear. So on the Shulchan Aruch, they have an expression that comes from the Bahag, I think, but it's not a popular expression. There's an expression that it's only considered a Rishus HaRabim Derayta if it goes Mefulish, cut through the whole city. And some Rishonim even have an expression, Mefulish Mishar Vishar, from one end of the city to the other, Beli Shum Ikum Klal, with no twist at all. What do you mean, Beli Shum Ikum Klal? It's a 1 degree change in angle. That's an equal, Belisham. Some of that's not an equal. But for some of what it means is like this. Let's say I'm Bennett Avenue. If you have Bennett Avenue and you go over here and you bump into the wall, the only way to get by there is to turn the right angle to the left, the right angle to the right. If that's Alpi Pashta, that's cool. Ain't ever foolish. If the street is ain't ever foolish, so it's not called the Rishus HaRabim Derayta. That's the way to assume the Shulchan Aruch. Now Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about the possibility of making an Erev in Manhattan from years ago, has a longer tshuva. He doesn't discuss the issue of Mefulish. So someone asked him after he wrote the first tshuva, why didn't he write something about the issue of Mefulish? So he has the next tshuva, a very short tshuva. There's a long tshuva, the first Chelek Igros Moshe, then the one after that is a very big tshuva. He says, he doesn't want to base anything on Mefulish because he doesn't know how to handle that din. He personally doesn't agree with what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He thinks that Mefulish means something totally different. And he writes like this. He says, the din requires that the street should be 16 amos wide, and the din requires that it shouldn't be Mekura. Shusarab Mekura is not a Shusarabim. So Moshe says, Mefulish means if you have a street that goes like this, and it's Mekura over here. 1 week, they have a Tikra over here. So he says, not only under the Tikra is it not a Rishus HaRabim Derayta, even before and after. When there's no Tikra, it's not Mefulish. He understands Mefulish means every step of the way should be Rishus HaRabim Derayta. And if part of the street is not Rishus HaRabim Derayta, then even the part before and after is also not Rishus HaRabim Derayta. That's one marshal he gives. Then he gives another marshal, Tezayin Amah. He says the street, the Gemara says the street has to be a minimum wide of 16 amos wide. So what if you have a street that's 16 amos wide, then there's a little area where it's only 15 amos wide, a stretch. Then it goes back to become 16 Amos wide. So he says, not only will it not be a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, and that stretch that is less than 16 Amos wide, even the area before and the area after will also not be a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, because it's not Mefulish. And he understands Mefulish means that every inch of the way should be Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. This is a Pella. The whole thing is against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has, if you look in Erevin, in the beginning of Erevin, the Taisus on the base that has the diagram printed. So they have such a diagram that goes like this. Here's the street, traffic goes like this. Here it's Tezai and Amo wide. From one side to the other. Here it's Tezai and Amo wide also. Here it's only 10 Amos wide. The Taisus says they're not sure if Rove of the street of the city is Tezai and Amo wide. They would venture to say that even if a miut of the street is less than Tezai Nama wide, that would also constitute a Mishus HaRab Nerai. You don't need that every inch of the way should be Tezai Nama wide. As long as right where the street is, even the miut is also considered a Mishus HaRab Nerai. Just the Hefer of Ramosha. Ramosha says the part that's less than Tezai Nama wide is upgeret. That's not a Mishus HaRab Nerai. And since he understands the Pshat and the Din of Mefulish, he's known as a Mekel. Ramosha is known as a big Mekel. Everything fakir from Taisus. Everything, all Shulchan Aruch. Everything fakir from the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch puts a suffix on this. Over here, this miut part, that's less than Tezai Nama wide. Is it a Carmelist or is it a Rishus HaRab Deraisa? That's the suffix. So Ramosha says, all wrong. This part for sure is a Carmelist. And he thinks even this part is also only a Carmelist. A whole different understanding of what Mefulish is. So that's what Rabbi Shabbat writes. He can't write a tshuva, la halacha, using a concept but he personally rubs him the wrong way. He thinks that all the Rishonim misunderstood the Pshat and Gemara. He thinks that Mefulish means a totally different Pshat. Very original Pshat. It's interesting. The Ramban on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph and Erevin, when the Mishnah distinguishes between an Ir Shal Yochid as opposed to an Ir Shal Rabim, and Rashi and Taisus translated, the Mishnah has a certain detail halacha there, and Rashi and Taisus interpret the Mishnah, Ir Shal Rabim means that you have Shishim Ribo, Ir Shal Yochid means you have less than Shishim Ribo. If you have Shishim Ribo, it's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. If you have less than Shishim Ribo, it's not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So the Ramban says he doesn't agree with the Bali HaTaisus, he doesn't accept the story of the Shishim Ribo. But then he adds on a word. He says that even according to the Balei HaTosfos who require Shishim Ribo, he thinks that's only in streets inside a city. But if you have Drachim HaHolchim ear to ear, if you have a highway that goes from one city to the other, he thinks even the Balei HaTosfos would agree that there's no need for Shishim Ribo. Why is that? So apparently he seems to understand the Balei HaTosfos. He doesn't agree with them. He seems to understand the Balei HaTosfos like this. That Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, the definition of Rishus HaRabim Deraisa is a highway. That's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So if it's a highway is a highway by definition. What if you live inside the city? So that's called the street. But some of the streets, there's so much traffic, maybe I should call it a highway. But that's what he says. If you have Shishim Ribo, then it's called a highway. If you don't have Shishim Ribo, then it's called the street. But if it's Mamasha Highway, it's not included within the city. You don't have houses on either side of the street. It's Mamasha Highway. Drach Mahoch near the ear. So he thinks even the Balei HaTosfos would agree that you wouldn't require Shishim Ribo over there. There is a Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Hei, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Mishnah Berurah Shin Mem Hei Tikkat Yud Zayin quotes a one line quotation from the Magen Avraham. He writes, Drach Mahoch near the ear, Yesh Lehem Din Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. And he doesn't explain what is he driving at. What is he trying to say? The whole simon gives you all the rules and regulations. You should have their eyes. It has to be 16 amos wide. You have to have Eina Mekure and Shishim Ribo. And if some don't agree with the Shishim Ribo, it has to be Shel Rabim and the whole story. So what did he come up with? So Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain it either. He just quotes the line from the Magen Avraham. So there's a very good sefer that's called Or Cheschaim by the rabbi from Sepinke. There's a Rishon Or Cheschaim, that's a different sefer. This is the Or Cheschaim by the rabbi from Sepinke. You see on Yerudeya and Ebenezer and Choshe Mishpot, we have next to the Behetim in Shulchan Aruch, you have the Pisei Tshuva. Pisei Tshuva was written in the late 1800s by by one of the Gedolim who made a likut of all the tshuvas. A Moiridik likut. You have a tshuva from the Chatam Sefer that goes for 6 pages, and he'll give you the 3 lines that are relevant. Leave out everything, I'll just give you the 3 lines that are relevant. Or you have a tshuva from Nadi Behuda, it goes on and on and on, and he'll give you the 2 lines that are crucial to Psak Halacha. He gives you the tamtis of all of the tshuvas. A Moiridik of the Pischa tshuva is Moiridik. And Arachaim, there is no, he didn't write a Pischa tshuva, you have the Shari tshuva. Shari tshuva, first of all, was earlier. It was written by Rechaim Zalman Margolis with his brother. So it was earlier. They didn't have any Chassam Sefer. He wasn't born yet, but the tshuvas were not available yet. And a lot of times he has Gematrios and Rashi Tevis and Vesbach and Siddish Amaisis. He doesn't really give you a likud. It's not like the Pischa tshuva on Yeridei and Chosh Mishpat and Ebenezer. So that's why one of the Dayanim in Vilna put out a little small sefer that's called Pischa tshuva on Arachayim. A little tiny sefer called Pischa tshuva. In fact, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura writes in his Akdama, he's going to quote things from the Pischa tshuva. So people think it's a misprint. There is no Pischa tshuva. No, there is. That's what he's quoting from this little sefer, Pischa tshuva. And every so often, the Mishnah Brura writes, I am Pischa tshuva. He quotes all the shittas. And people think it's a misprint. There is no Pischa tshuva. There is a separate sefer. That's also the secret. A lot of times, the Mishnah Brura usually quotes the Taz and the Magen Avraham and the Machzah Shekel and Prima Gonim and the Chemed Moshe. Everybody's on the page on back of the Shulchan Aruch on the separate Svarim, the Chemed Moshe, a separate Sefer, Maimon Moshe, a separate Sefer. He always quotes the things that are on the page. Once in a while, he quotes, Aguru Bi Ohalecha. Where did he get Aguru Bi Ohalecha? Shuvas Chasam Sefer. How did he know to quote that? The answer is, that's what he writes. He'll only quote an outside source if it appears in the Pischa tshuva. He didn't have a computer, and he didn't do the research. He didn't do independent research. He writes an Avdam. He's going to quote once in a while, quote the Afrenim, who are quoted in the Sefer Pischa tshuva. So the Pischa tshuva in Arachaim is very good, but it's also incomplete. So this Sepinker, this rabbi from Sepinker, around the year 1900 or so, he put out Orchas Chaim, which is 2 volumes, very good. It was reprinted around 20 years ago. It was very good. He has kimat stif by stif a likut of all of the Achronim, everybody, the Litvisha, the Galitiana, the Hungarians, the Yekis, whatever anybody said on Shulchan Aruch. He has the gematrios with the Rosh Tevis, with the Pshetlach also, and he has every tshuva sefer that was available to him. It's very good, and it has Hoistophis Haoris from the Maharsham in bold letters. All sefer is printed in Rashi's script. Whenever he quotes from the Maharsham, the Maharsham wrote Haoris with more Marmikaims. It's very good. So on this sefer in the Orchas Chaim from the Sepinka, he writes on this Magen Avraham. What is Magen Avraham driving at? That he writes Drach Mahochum yearly year constitute Rusha Saram Deraita. So constitute Rusha Saram Deraita. It corresponds to the rules and regulations. If I didn't make such a blanket statement, so he writes, he thinks that Magen Avraham is driving at this idea that the Ramban wrote on Daf Nun Tes. That you don't, L'chola days, you don't need Shishim Uzzah. Even according to Tesis and Rashi and many Rishonim who think that if you don't have Shishim Ribo, it's not considered the Rishus Haram Deraisa. That's if it's a street in a city. Do we call it a street or do we call it a highway? But if it's literally Mamish a highway, drop Malcolm nearly here, so he thinks that that's what the Magen Avraham is driving at. The question is, here in New York City, you have the Henry Hudson Parkway over there, and have the Harlem River Drive over here. My personal feeling was that these are mamish highways. There are no houses on either side. You don't have any pedestrians walking around. There's mamish only for going long distances. So it could be that these two, the Henry Hudson Highway with the Harlem River Drive, is mamish a highway. It's known as a highway. No one calls it a street. It could be that there, even if you wouldn't have Shishim Ribo, these would constitute Rishus Haram Deraisa. And whatever area you're going to make around all of Manhattan is going to be Nifrit L'Mokam Asala, because you can walk from the middle of Manhattan onto the Henry Hudson or onto the Harlem River Drive without crossing a Mechitza, because the Mechitza is around the edge of the island, and these highways are inside the Mechitza, they're not outside the Mechitza. They say that Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly didn't agree with this, because Rav Moshe used to sometimes look out his window and count how many cars were going by every hour and calculate what's the average number of passengers in every car and try to